Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're at the place where we take, well, frankly, some pretty compelling source material and just plunge right in.
Yeah, we look at the structures, the receipts,
Yeah.
the sheer boldness of it all, even when it reads like something straight out of Hollywood.
Exactly. And today, we're tackling something complex. It's a story that feels almost like a myth, but the documents we have present it as, well, fact.
Wow.
Our job here really is to filter out the noise, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just deliver the core kind of unnerving truth behind this secret competition, something run with immense wealth.
Right. And this deep dive is laser focused on drawing out the timeline, the mechanics of how it was all controlled.
And that really dramatic, violent ending, a story that apparently went on for over a decade.
Yeah. So you need to settle in for this one.
Because here's the core log line, and this comes straight from the archive material.
Right.
In the 1950s, billionaire Jeff Bezos lured desperate debtors to a private island to compete for $67 million. Deadly games that ended in fire, jungle, and a tiger's paw.
Wow. That log line, it just hints you, doesn't it? It sets up all those high contrast elements we really need to dissect. You've got the crazy wealth, the sheer desperation.
And dates, the money.
The dates, the money, and that absolutely wild ending. It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah.
So our responsibility here is to stay completely impartial. We're treating the survivor accounts, the documents, as the factual basis. That's the lens we have to use.
Right. We're just following the evidence and the sources.
Exactly. We're extracting the concrete stuff, how people were eliminated, the money involved, and what exactly happened in that 67 rebellion.
Okay.
And to do that, we've sort of structured this to follow the system itself. We start with the setup, the man, the money, the island back in the 50s.
Act one.
Then we pivot to the, let's call it the deadly mechanism, how the games actually work, the proof they found in 1967.
The receipts.
The receipts. And finally, yeah, we look at that chaotic climax, the fire, the chase through the jungle, and that lingering mystery, the tiger.
Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, let's unpack this. And I think to really grasp the scale of it, we have to start with the billionaire, Jeff Bezos, and the environment he created, this world of financial ruin.
Right, the architect himself.
Exactly.
Jeff Bezos. He's not just described as rich, is he? The sources label him the billionaire host and creator.
Yeah, creator is key there. He's positioned as the undisputed architect, using his incredible wealth not just to host an event, but to fundamentally leverage human desperation globally.
And when we talk about leveraging desperation, we're talking about that prize fund. It had to be huge to make people ignore the risks, right?
Astronomical. The sources specify the amount. $67
million. $67 million.
And remember, this is back in the 1950s.
Which makes it, I mean, the buying power would be insane compared to today.
Exponentially higher.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions, maybe even billions in today's terms. This wasn't just get out of debt money. This was change your family's life forever money.
So that's the lure. He found people who weren't just struggling. They were rock bottom, financially ruined.
That seems to be the profile, according to the records. He identified people at their absolute lowest point. Debt had consumed everything. So that $67 million wasn't just big, it was.
A lifeline. Their only way out.
Precisely. Irresistible.
Yeah.
Making the risk, however vague it might have seemed at first, feel, well, almost negligible in comparison.
And it wasn't like he forced them, was it? It was structured exploitation.
That's a good way to put it. Structured exploitation. He didn't need to kidnap anyone. He just needed to find the vulnerable and present this unbelievable opportunity.
The billionaire host tag also tells you something about the resources involved, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Securing a private island, setting up all the logistics, keeping it secret for over a decade.
It wasn't just a weekend thing.
No, no. This was a sustained operation. A dark industry, really, powered by his willingness to exploit financial ruin. And as we'll get into, it seems like it was for profit and spectacle, too.
The sources are clear, though. Bezos was the guy pulling the strings, funding it, directing it.
Start to finish, yeah. He's named as the man behind it all.
So let's talk more about the players, these debtors. Understanding their situation is key to seeing how the trap worked.
It really is. The sources describe them as global recruits from all over. But the common thread, crushing debt. They'd reached a point where this prize was, quite literally, their only perceived path back.
And that $67 million figure in the 1950s context, it's hard to overstate its impact.
It really is. It wasn't just a fortune. It was almost mythical. Enough to buy entire futures, not just pay off loans. The lure had to be that powerful to overcome the suspicious nature of it all. Secret island, billionaire host.
Yeah, it sounds dodgy from the start.
Right. So the contracts, or maybe invitations is a better word, they must have been very carefully worded.
Obscuring the real danger.
Completely. They weren't told, come risk your life. They were told, come win a fortune. The psychology is fascinating. Their existing debt was already so overwhelming, it sort of preconditioned them for a high-stakes gamble. Bezos just moved the casino to his island.
And the timeline, starting in the 1950s, that tells us this wasn't impulsive, it was methodical.
Exactly. A long-term system of exploitation. It had to be maintained, refined, hidden for years, preying on global despair.
The fact that it ran for over a decade before the 67 Rebellion, it just shows how effective the secrecy and that huge prize were.
The isolation and the money.
Yeah.
A powerful combination.
Okay, so you have the ultimate carrot, $67 million, and the deepest fear, financial ruin. But that only works if the environment is completely sealed off.
Which brings us squarely to the island. The sources are very specific about why that location was necessary.
Secrecy.
Secrecy is paramount. Geographical isolation means no prying eyes, no interference.
Yeah.
And it allows for a total information blackout if you're planning to, well, systematically eliminate losers.
You can't have witnesses or escape routes.
Precisely. Secrecy wasn't a bonus. It was fundamental to the entire business model.
And the initial pitch. The sources say it was just a few simple games.
Yeah, that contrast is jarring, isn't it? The stated purpose, a straightforward competition for a huge prize that was the essential lie that drew people in.
But once they arrived, the reality must have hit hard.
Well, maybe not immediately. But the island itself became this controlled environment, a lab almost. The sources suggest it allowed Bezos to evolve the games over that decade, from simple beginnings into something.
Far darker, as the documents put it, by 1967.
Exactly. The physical barriers of the island reinforced the psychological barrier created by the money. It was a perfectly constructed trap, only broken eventually by, well, unforeseen factors.
And this control wasn't passive. It needed infrastructure.
Oh, massive infrastructure. Think about it. Maintaining buildings, transport, security, communications on a remote island for 10 years or more, all dedicated to running lethal games in secret.
It points to a highly organized, heavily funded operation.
Absolutely. Dependent on secrecy to function as a business. A system built on profit and control, designed to be impenetrable. And it apparently only got darker until 1967.
Right. Let's get into Act Two then. The mechanism. This is where it shifts from a sketchy contest to something truly deadly.
This is the core deception. How did it actually become lethal?
The source material is pretty blunt about the real rules, isn't it?
Chillingly so. You played to win, yes. But really, you played to survive. If you lost, you didn't just pack your bags.
You never left the island.
Never. The evidence points to that outcome. Bezos promised $67 million. But for the losers, the sources say he delivered death.
So how did that work? How were the eliminations handled? The sources must imply something.
They imply it was structured to look like part of the game. Accidents during challenges, maybe exhaustion, possibly even sabotage framed as failure. The system needed turnover, it needed spectacle, so failure had to be final.
And quick.
And quick. The fact that we later hear about an elimination list confirms it wasn't accidental. These were intentional deaths, part of the design.
That makes the stakes for the remaining players unimaginable.
Absolutely. Every single challenge, every game,
yeah.
Knowing that losing means, well, execution. That transforms the whole dynamic. It ensures maximum effort, maximum compliance.
Fear is the ultimate motivator.
Right. The island stops being just an arena. It becomes this tightly controlled environment designed to maximize terror and ultimately the payout. Whether that's the prize money for the one winner or profits for Bezos' operation.
Profits. Which brings us to the infrastructure needed to maintain this for over a decade. It wasn't just fear.
No, you need people.
Mm-hmm.
The documents mention guards or workers, and their job was twofold. Security, obviously. But also
operating the betting systems. That detail is wild.
It's maybe the most disturbing detail, honestly, because it completely changes the game. This wasn't just about clearing debt or some sick personal entertainment for Bezos. It suggests a market.
A market. Betting on the contestants.
That's what the sophisticated betting systems implies. So you have to ask, who was betting and what exactly were they betting on?
Not just who wins, presumably.
Probably not. The sources mention cameras, betting screens. It suggests real-time data. Wagers on specific challenges, survival times, maybe even grimly, the method of the next elimination.
That level of detail, it would require serious tech, right?
Yeah.
Especially back then.
Secure satellite links, maybe high-frequency radio. something to provide near real-time updates to this hidden clientele, whoever they were. It paints a picture of a dark market trading in human lives.
So the contestants weren't just players or prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
They were assets, data points in a performance for gamblers.
That's the staggering implication, yes. Performing for a hidden audience.
Okay, but let's push on that. If the system was that sophisticated, guards, cameras, headquarters, betting tech, why could it apparently be disrupted by just overpowering two guards? Does that seem like a weak link?
That's a really critical question. It might point to the hubris of the architect, maybe?
Overconfidence.
Possibly. The focus seems to have been heavily on the surveillance, the data, the digital control. Maybe the physical security around the nerve center itself was underestimated.
Relying too much on the tech and the fear factor.
Could be. The betting systems kept the spectacle going and the money flowing, overpowering two guards. Perhaps it indicates Bezos thought the players were too broken, the guards too loyal or too scared to ever try anything. He likely assumed the risk of exposure was zero.
And the rewards for compliance were high enough?
Right. This whole system, the surveillance, the high stakes, it echoes that idea we sometimes discuss. You know, the game trains you before it pays you.
Right. Conditioning.
Exactly. The contestants were conditioned to be compliant, fearful performers. But it just took two people with the right training to target the information hub, the headquarters, and bring the whole thing down.
Which brings us to 1967, the turning point.
The turning point. The system had been running for over a decade, apparently stable. But the sources say that by 1967, the games had grown into something far darker.
Darker how? Escalating cruelty, bigger bets.
The sources don't specify the how. Just that it had intensified, maybe driven by the demands of those hidden bettors. But the key thing is who arrived or who finally acted.
The agents of change.
Yes. The sources identify them very specifically. Two participants. And crucially, both were former military agents.
Ah, that explains a lot.
It explains everything about how the rebellion could even start. These weren't just desperate civilians anymore. These were professionals. Skilled in infiltration, combat, intelligence.
Yeah, people who could see the weaknesses in the system.
Exactly. Their training likely included things like signals intelligence, counter-surveillance, close-quarters combat. They could look past the immediate terror and identify structural vulnerabilities. They knew how to take down guards efficiently, quietly.
And how to find the control center.
And find the control center, which often relies more on tech camouflage than brute force defenses. The sources say they overpowered two guards, likely a quick, coordinated takedown. No alarms, minimum fuss.
And their target was the main headquarters, the nerve center.
The brain of the operation. Surveillance, betting, everything.
And inside, they found the proof.
Undeniable proof. The sources describe walls covered in camera feeds, those real-time betting screens showing money changing hands over their lives.
Grim.
And the final nail in the coffin. The official list of players.
The elimination list.
The elimination list. With clear markers next to the names of the eliminated, confirming their fate wasn't just losing, it was death.
That's the moment. The hidden truth laid bare.
Absolutely. That list transformed the survivors from players into rebels. It confirmed the $67 million was a lie for almost everyone. That the whole thing was just a slow, calculated execution machine.
They weren't playing for money anymore.
No. They were fighting for their lives and maybe for some kind of justice. That discovery, seeing the system's records, that's the spark that ignites the full rebellion.
Okay, Act 3, the climax. What happens once that truth is out?
It's immediate chaos, basically. The former military agents, having seen the proof, they don't hesitate.
What's the first move?
Tactical. They shut everything down, the surveillance systems, the betting feeds. Boom. Control instantly flips to the survivors.
Pulling the plug on Bezos' operation.
Exactly. The spectacle ends. The fear that kept everyone in line for years, it breaks.
And the remaining players, they must have exploded.
Righteous fury is probably an understatement. They demand answers. And under that pressure, the sources say, a captured guard finally cracks.
And gives up Bezos.
Gives up Bezos. Reveals his identity as the mastermind, and crucially, his location. A reinforced bunker, hidden somewhere deep on the island.
A bunker? So he was there. On the island.
Physically present.
Ugh.
Overseeing it all,
yeah.
Apparently. Which just adds another layer of, well, hubris or paranoia.
Right. He wasn't just pulling strings remotely.
No. He was hidden, but present. Untouchable, he thought. But now the survivors, free from the cameras, fueled by this horrific truth, they know who and where. the game instantly flips.
It becomes a hunt.
A desperate hunt for the architect. Racing towards that bunker. You can just imagine the scene. Total pandemonium. The power structure completely inverted after more than a decade.
So they race through the jungle, but Bezos was ready to run.
He had an escape plan, it seems.
Yeah.
The eternal architect. As the group gets near the bunker location, they see it. A helicopter lifting off fast.
It's getting away.
Looks like it. But the source material gives this incredibly specific, almost cinematic detail. Through the helicopter's glass, they see Bezos.
And he's smiling.
Smiling down at them. A final act of arrogance, completely convinced he's beaten them, escaped the consequences.
That smile.
Right.
Just, wow, pure villain moment.
It really is. The ultimate display of power and contempt right before, right before the fall.
But the fall itself, the sources describe it almost like divine intervention, don't they? The lightning strike.
It defies rational explanation based on the account. Is there any other source material that tries to rationalize it? Or is it just presented as this sudden act of fate?
The sources we have present it starkly, just fate or judgment. The narrative says, the sky lit up and so did the truth.
Poetic almost.
Yeah. A lightning bolt hits the helicopter. It bursts into flames, crashes into the jungle. A literal fiery end to his escape.
So the documents list him as presumed dead after that.
Presumed dead, yes. But that wording, it's deliberately ambiguous, isn't it?
Very. It leaves that door open just a crack. And the fact the sources immediately talk about the survivors searching the wreckage, it shows they didn't just accept the fire as the final answer.
They needed proof, closure.
Exactly. That ambiguity keeps the narrative going, keeps us following the trail right to that very strange final scene.
Okay, so the survivors rush to the crash site, driven by everything they've been through. But nobody.
Nobody in the wreckage, according to the sources. But they find something else. Evidence that someone did survive the crash. Or at least crawled away injured.
Footprints.
Muddy footprints. Leading away from the fire, deep into the jungle.
So the hunt isn't over, it just changes pace.
Mm.
From chaotic pursuit to quiet tracking.
Yeah, the mood shifts dramatically.
Yeah.
Slower, more tense.
Yeah.
Following these tracks into the dense undergrowth.
Mm.
And the pursuit ends, well, not with the capture.
But with that final scene,
yeah,
described with really specific details.
This is the absolute endpoint the sources give us for the Jez Bezos story. The footprints stop. And there, they find, not Bezos, but evidence. A torn black suit, presumably his, ripped during a frantic escape through the jungle, injured.
And beside the suit.
The final macabre receipt. A large tiger, just sitting there, calmly licking blood from its paws.
Jesus. The tiger.
The tiger. The ultimate symbol of the wildness he tried to control on his island. It becomes the final judge in this telling. The torn suit, the blood, the tiger's calm indifference. It's the definitive, bizarre, terrifying end to the search.
Nature reclaiming its own.
In the most brutal way imaginable, yeah. The wildness he exploited ultimately consumed him. That's the narrative endpoint.
Okay, so let's pull back. What does this all mean? We've traced this incredible story, desperation, wealth, violence, lightning, tigers. Why does this dark history, this rebellion in 67, still matter? What's the takeaway?
I think the relevance is in the mechanics of power. Bezos' island wasn't run by magic, right? It was a system. Cameras, data, guards, betting, and that crucial lever, debt.
The sources show how vulnerable that kind of system can be, though, especially one relying on digital control.
Exactly. It highlights that vulnerability. It was sustainable only because of the secrecy, the isolation, and the fear. But the key insight, especially for you listening, is seeing how that system was dismantled.
Not by luck.
No. By two people with specific skills. Those former military agents. They knew how to bypass the guards, find the headquarters, and make the invisible system visible. It shows tactical knowledge trumping brute force.
And the power of that evidence they found. That elimination list.
That was the catalyst. Seeing the proof, the hard data confirming the rumors and fears. That's what turned terror into rebellion. The very information Bezos used to control them became the tool of his downfall.
We also have to think about the sources themselves, right? Using phrases like, according to survivors, detailing lightning strikes, ending with a tiger.
It forces us to think critically, yeah. This isn't just what happened. It's about how the story is being told. How the survivors, or whoever documented this, chose to frame the downfall of their oppressor. A very deliberate, very cinematic ending they provide.
Right. Okay, let's lock in those key numbers again. The memory anchors for this whole saga.
Good idea. The essential figures that summarize it all.
It starts with the lure. The massive lie. $67 million.
The promise that fueled the entire operation.
The beginning. back in the 1950s, when Bezos launched this secret competition.
Capitalizing on that post-war global despair.
The year it all came crashing down.
Right.
The rebellion, the fire, 1967.
The year the system broke.
The agents of that break, too. The former military personnel who sparked the coup.
The catalysts for change.
And the final terrifying image that ends the mystery. One tiger. The ambiguous, gruesome conclusion to the search for Bezos.
Nature's final verdict, according to the Pale.
So wrapping this up, the core message from the source material feels pretty stark, doesn't it?
Unrelenting. That one line summarizes the grim reality for most participants.
He promised 67 million, he delivered death. And this whole deep dive, it really makes you think about how desperation, combined with these unbelievable prizes, can create these environments just ripe for exploitation, deadly exploitation.
That idea again. The game trains you before it pays you. But here, the training was just conditioning for death, wasn't it? Disguised as a contest.
Exactly.
And we want to leave you with one final thought. Something to chew on, directly from the source details. We talk about those guards and the complex betting systems.
Right. The hidden audience.
If this was generating real-time profits from bets on human lives, who's betting? How integrated was this secret island fueled by debt and desperation into some wider, darker network? A network trading human tragedy like a commodity.
That network, the clientele, they remain silent shadows in this story.
Completely unanswered by the fire in the tiger's paw. That's the deeper, unsettling question that lingers.
So if you want to explore the context, the timeline, all the supporting documents we've referenced here.
Especially the material confirming the $67 million, the 1967 rebellion, the elimination list. We really encourage you to seek out the sources yourself.
You can find the full timeline plus those receipts, including the survivor testimony details, in the documented archive.
Full timeline plus receipts at Inspector Story. Thanks for diving deep with us.